Hello, I'm Rob Andrew.
And I'm Darren Davidson.
And this is Kootenai Morning.
It's not the most alluring job description. On call, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, salary zero. But Dr. Nicholas Sparrow, the physician who spearheads the Kootenai Emergency Response Physicians Association, or CERPA, one of the only programs like it in the nation, has committed himself to this courageous cause nonetheless. And after over 500 calls since CERPA started, it's very safe to say there are probably a lot of folks out there who've likely thanked Dr. Sparrow and his support team for saving their lives. Dr. Sparrow is on the line with us today after a shift at the hospital last night. Thanks for getting out of bed extra early and helping us out, Doc.
Hey, Darren, Rob, thanks for having me on the show.
You bet.
So, Dr. Sparrow, what does the Kootenai Emergency Response Physicians Association do exactly?
Yeah, so we're a Canadian registered charity, and we equip and send a volunteer EMS physician, which is myself, directly to the scene of immediate threat to life 911 calls in the Kootenai region. And we have like an active, dedicated board of directors who kind of help push the organization forward and help keep me out on the road. And we have like an office coordinator as well. And without their support, I wouldn't be able to get out on the road, and we just have great community support that keeps us out there supporting the emergency services and helping patients at critical 911 calls.
Most people would likely assume, rightly or wrongly, that this kind of emergency service is already provided, but where is the gap, Dr. Sparrow, and why do we require this service in particular here in Nelson?
Yeah, I think in the rural areas, the way the pre-hospital care is set up is we have basic life support paramedics who do a fantastic job, but they are limited by legislation as to the level of care that they can provide. And we have some advanced life support paramedics and critical care paramedics who can fly in on helicopter, but they're not always available, and sometimes at the critical calls where you have multiple patients or helicopters can't fly into the area, that's where CERPA can assist and help on the scene. And obviously, CERPA, I provide physician care at the scene, so we can provide roadside anesthetics, surgical interventions, have different training and skills, and different set of medications that we bring. But it's a big team effort when it's the big calls. So that's kind of where we fit in.
We're talking, we're talking nuts and bolts here, but in reality, it is an incredibly dramatic job. You are often the first person on accident scenes before anybody else. We were talking a couple of days ago. You mentioned there aren't many other programs like CERPA in BC or other parts of Canada. We're kind of on the leading edge here, right?
I would say yes. Yeah, for sure. I think CERPA has the first dedicated EMS physician truck in the province, as far as I'm aware. And, you know, we wouldn't have been able to do that without sponsorship from the IODE and the attack group and local donations. But I'm not actually aware of any other physician EMS system that's been running in Canada, other than STARS, but obviously they fly in helicopters. We're a ground resource.
Right.
That's operating like we are, and for as long as we are, because this program has been operating for almost 7 years now.
So you've been the lone physician answering calls any time of day or night, which sounds like an enormous commitment. How many calls have you answered, and what keeps you motivated to keep doing it?
Yeah, so I've been on about 540 calls. I mean, it does sound dramatic, like I'm on call 24/7, but in reality, when I'm working in the eMERGE or I'm finished night shift, there are sometimes just times I cannot go on calls. I wish I could, but I am human. But I've probably treated sort of about 400 patients, and our statistics show that one in four of those calls that we go on, we actually do provide a critical intervention. So, we are seeing quite a lot of patients, but obviously it's over a number of years that we've been doing this. And, you know, as to the question, why do you do it? I've often thought, well, why do I do it? And, I mean that in a good way. that sounds bad, isn't it? But, sometimes it is a struggle getting out of bed in the middle of the night, but it's the same for any other emergency service provider. But, it's in my heart to do it. It's something I feel I'm called to do. And, you know, a personal story, you know, when I was little, my two-year-old sister actually escaped out of her pushchair or stroller at a Red Cross garden party and managed to actually find her way through the crowds to a pond and was actually found by my mum's best friend face down in a pond, blue, not breathing, and was actually pulled out of the pond by a Red Cross volunteer called Bob Griffin, who's sadly no longer alive, and resuscitated. And she was escorted by paramedics and a police escort all the way to the nearest hospital about 20 miles away and made a full recovery. And so here was someone who had spent their time volunteering, you know, had basically saved a life.
That's something that has obviously made a huge impression on you, because you got into medical school at a very young age. It must have been something you had wanted to do from when you were a kid. We wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. But what is it like, Dr. Sparrow, to I know it's probably part of the job and not a particularly, you know, it's just part of the job. But what is it literally like to bring somebody back to life, especially when you consider what that means to their loved ones?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that question, and I'm not sure that I've actually brought anyone back to life. But, I can tell you that I've definitely seen police officers in this town, paramedics and firefighters, not only sort of in this town but in this area, who are actually 100% without those people there and their intervention, would have died. Mm-hmm. Often when I get there, like it's rare that I intervening in a sort of an immediate way to actually save life. I'm often there stabilizing very critically injured patients. Mm-hmm. But I have actually personally seen someone brought back during cardiac arrest who for certain would have died without the intervention. It was actually of bystanders and Nelson City Fire.
As of only a week or two ago, CRPA and the community have reasons to celebrate thanks to an arrival of a rare piece of critical care equipment worth $33,000. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you raised the money?
Yeah, and really this is why we got in contact with the radio, to kind of celebrate with the community actually getting this piece of kit, because it's a Zoll monitor, and we got it with a grant from Pacific Blue Cross. They donated about $10,000. We had sponsorship from Zoll, who reduced the price considerably for us. We had a little grant from Columbian Basin Trust, public donations and money from our patrons, the IODE. Big shout to those ladies. And this monitor is amazing. It's the price of a car, so it's $33,000 brand new. We can monitor very critical patients right at the roadside. When it comes to cardiac arrest, it can manage the compression depth that responders are actually compressing the chest of the patient, the exact rhythm. And underneath the compressions, we're often wanting to know what the baseline rhythm is, whether we're going to need to shock them or just carry on with CPR. And it can filter out that, so you can actually see what the real rhythm the patient is in, despite their chest being compressed at the time. It's a fantastic machine.
We're just speaking with Dr. Nicholas Sparrow, who's a physician who spearheads the Kootenai Emergency Response Physicians Association. Dr. Sparrow, just got a couple of minutes left. You have been a doctor since 2001. You were out in the Sunshine Coast for a bit before you came here. You're from the UK. I wanted to ask you, you must have cohorts in other parts of the world who are dealing with the pandemic in ways that perhaps Canadian doctors are not. Have you got any insights into how things are going for your cohorts in other parts around the world?
Yeah, I think in some countries they're having a really difficult time. I know that back in the UK I have mm-hmm. colleagues who's in the ICU, and I mean they're seeing 1,300 people dying a day in the UK at the moment.
Incredible.
And that's the same as we've had in a year in BC. And so they're seeing it at a much bigger level. I think we're blessed that we have such a huge area in British Columbia that we're a bit spread out. But yeah, I think when the virus hits, it hits heavy and does put a real toll, especially on the intensive care units and critical care facilities.
Is it safe to refer, do you think, to frontline workers as heroes? Because it sure seems like they have been. Or do you see it more as this basically being, you know, the job that you've all signed up for, pandemic or otherwise?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. You know, I don't think, it's something we've signed up for. When I think of the heroes, I think it's actually, and this is me being honest, firefighters who run in to save lives of patients trapped in houses, and you know, police officers who show up at gun calls or people who are being assaulted, like, and they put their lives at risk to help other people. That's really where I see the true heroes.
Dr. Sparrow, we really do appreciate the time. Thanks for everything you've done out there. You have been with the Kootenai Emergency Response Physicians Association right from the very beginning, and it is one of the only programs, folks, like it anywhere in the nation. If you want to learn more about CERPA or to donate or support it, you can visit CERPA.org. Dr. Sparrow, thanks a bunch. Hopefully you can maybe get back into bed and get a couple more hours sleep before you get back on the job.
Thanks, Aaron and Rob.
Thanks, Dr.
Thanks for having me on the show. You guys are great. Thank you.